All right. No technical difficulties for one of the first times today. We've got a special guest, three Brits on the show, it looks like today. KBM is going to be a little bit late, it looks like. But OSF, why don't you get us started with the sponsor, then we'll get into everything.
Yeah, as you guys know, our show is sponsored by Rollbit. Check out rollbit.com. We'll have two codes to give away with a little loot box spin at the end of the show. The first code is JimCats4181. JimCats4181. And if you've got difficulty understanding me today, you're going to have a tough time on the show. So please just learn to understand British English.
Yeah, I have to say, when there was a big reveal of what you look like, Jim, I honestly thought you were a 60-year-old bloke. So it was refreshing to see you as someone kind of roughly our age, it looks like. And I think this is going to be a good, fun chat. When OSF said he met you at a dinner the other day, I honestly thought you were like a retired derivatives trader who was like 70 and just did crypto in his spare time. But this is
I feel like a retired 70s derivatives trader. To be but yeah,
just to let you know, you can join us on the space if you want to as well. Jim Talbot, it is otherwise, or at Jim Talbot if people want to follow along. But yeah, you can always join Jim if you want to and mute yourself. So yeah, how did you two meet? Like, let's get into that, because this is something that was organized within the last week, right? You guys were both at an Illuminati dinner, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I obviously saw RSF at the on the fight night thing, and then I basically looked to my left at this dinner and saw him sat there eating his starter. I was like, oh, nice. Then we just got chatting, really. So
surprised you recognized me without the cornrows. Most people don't even recognize me, so.
That was a strong look. I actually love those cornrows. I don't know why you got rid of them.
They're painful to have it. Like, they're just so irritating that you have all these like shit stuck to your hair, and it's all like glue and stuff, and it's like super itchy. I don't know how you like wash your hair with it and stuff. I'm sure there's ways to do it, because people obviously sport cornrows a lot these days. Yeah. But just wasn't for me, really.
No,
wasn't for her either. Yeah, I thought it looked cool, but it was just quite irritating to have them in. Would you ever do cornrows, Jim?
That's what I'm going for. I'm growing it now for the cornrows.
Are you actually growing it out?
No, I just have like really weird anxiety about going to the hairdressers, so I just leave it for just a stupid amount of time. Like, there's something about having to pretend to talk to someone, I don't know, for 20-30 minutes I just can't stomach. So
I know that.
I'll end up just buzzing.
Enjoy today, then. You're going to enjoy today.
Got an hour of it.
What was that dinner like? Any alpha coming away from it? Coinbase, everyone just talk about how great Coinbase is, or was there a general theme for that dinner?
I think the alpha I know is that they know how to party, that's for sure.
Really? Did you see that headline today about that person who got caught? What was it, crypto trading firm that got caught? Like, you saw this headline, OSF. You sent it to me.
I saw it, yeah. This Daily Mail article.
That's the thing.
We've got to get it up. Can we share a screen?
Yeah, for sure. You share your screen.
It's this Daily Mail article about some, like, you know, like last week was like a digital asset summit or whatever. Where is it? Let me just find it. And they're all like, it's some weird underground club, like eating food off like these models on the table or something. Here we go.
Was this in London?
This was in London. It was like a Wolf of Wall
Street. I actually think I know which club it is, which is a bit worrying.
Here we go.
I'm guessing it's at Box.
That's where our parties are.
I don't think it is the Box. I think it's
this isn't the Box. No way.
Yeah, here are the pictures of it.
What's the headline there up at the top?
The headline is, guests of crypto bro firm are pictured awkwardly nibbling a buffet of sushi served of semi-naked models at champagne fuel party in London hotel, in grim flashback to banking's debauched 80s heyday, but host insists it was performance art. So this guy's got to learn how to write headlines, because that's a long fucking headline.
That is a long headline. I was actually, have you ever seen those things about the headlines you used to see in the, like, the early 2000s, like Becks and Posh and Beck steel car in crazy London? I'll send you that video. It's like, it's incredible. The ones you used to read in like The Sun or something like that. Anyway, yeah, this is kind of where, was that what it was like? It wasn't, you weren't,
Well, I, let, I, I left after dinner, so I don't know what Jim and those guys got up to. But
we just kind of went back and forth between club, like between bars, until about 3:30 a.m.
Wow. Coinbase guys know how to party then.
Yeah, they were serious. It was good. It was actually really fun. Really fun. A good group of people, actually. And the dinner was good. So
yeah, it was good, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Was it just Chad traders only, or was it Buildors, or who are they
kind
going
of a
on?
Mix. Sort of a mix, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this one guy who sat across the table and was like, I won't tell you who I am, but I have 250k followers and I'm like a big deal on Twitter. Me and Jim are trying to work it out. And I told
still
Jim
can't was, figure it out.
I told Jim it was Capo, and he believed me for a sec. His face was just like,
I just cannot
that much.
Yeah.
And he's English as well, so I can't like. Is it couldn't really work. No.
And I've argued with him before, and I'm trying to think, but I think I must have argued with too many people because I can't remember. But yeah,
English. Cold-blooded Schiller's English, right?
It definitely wasn't him, because cold-blooded Schiller has a bit of a... Yeah, he has a northern accent as well, a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
This guy was not northern. Yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. And
I don't know why I was there, to be completely honest.
Well, they thought you were a 70-year-old ex-derivatives trader, probably.
Yeah, I turned up, they're like, oh, okay.
Have you not seen that clip, Michael, on one of the Up Only shows where that guy's screaming like, fucking take profits. Like, that's
I
Jim.
Think I have. Oh, yeah, that is you. Wow. Okay. So you've been doxxed. I just thought the cat is just like classic crypto. I've been here since the beginning of time. Yeah. I'm not like,
I just feel like I can't change it now. Because, right. You know, if I go like the professional look, the people are going to think I'm going to start grifting or something, I think, you know. So I'm just going to keep the cat.
There aren't that many cat meme coins. Really have not done well this cycle, right? Like, they just perennially kind of crap. I think there is a section of CoinGecko, which is the cat meme coins, and the dog ones are all like 10x. To get a cat meme coin in the top 10 is tough.
It is.
I see. It's cat related.
You would the amount of DMs I get from these projects trying to get me to shill them is just unbelievable as well. Just garbage cat projects. It's hilarious.
That's what the meta is right now. Are you maybe we'll get into it a little bit. What sort of a trader are you? Are you a meme coin trader right now? Are you mainly in the majors? Like what are you dancing in these days?
I'll be honest, I've not been massively active trading for a while. I'm mainly looking for like lazier swing trades at the minute, because I kind of over the days of sitting on my computer for 12 hours a day, you know. I generally prefer scalping, I don't know, the meta's definitely changed to where it's, you don't get these sustained periods of like good scalping price action, you know. You'll get a move like this week, we get a move, then we get like 2 days of just nonsense grinding. I'm still sort of long biased at the minute, but I kind of feel as though the liquidity is quite stretched thin across different chains and stuff at the minute. So it feels like the sort of buy pressure and sell pressure is just not sustained in either direction on the majors at the minute. So I'm just kind of waiting. But I think the two that I like the look of the most, or want to be long the most, is Pepe and FTM probably. I think they can still do well. But I just wonder if we're just in a period now where it's going to be boring for a couple of weeks. I don't know, but
it does feel a little bit range bound, right? Like we're attempting to hit an all-time high, and now it kind of looks a bit like a double top.
Actually, during that dinner, on the day of the dinner, it was when we had that dump, the initial dump, and I got in on FTM and Pepe then. I closed them today because they just weren't doing much. And I'm also sort of concerned that I think 75K is quite a reactionary level for Bitcoin, even if it does end up breaking it after, to where it might just end up ruining alts for a few hours. So I just kind of think it's a bad price point at the minute, maybe. So think we're going to go higher.
It's tough to go long 5% from all-time high, right? Because if it doesn't break it, you probably get dumped. And even if it does, it's probably going to have to consolidate around that level anyway. So yeah, I would agree with you. It's kind of no man's land at this sort of stage. When it was down in the low 60s, it felt like a better risk reward trade, like maybe wick down to like high 50s or mid 50s, but Now it's definitely more difficult. I imagine we do consolidate around that level. So in terms of how you trade, you, like you said, you're a scalper. Is that how are you doing that? You're just looking for big liquidations on altcoins? Are you like a chartist? How do you look at this?
Yeah, generally, I don't do it as much anymore because the market has definitely changed since I was sort of more prominent. Because it's just got more efficient to where there isn't those sort of opportunities to get in at sort of good prices on a, you know, multiple times a day. You know, you'd get an inefficient wick that'd take out all the stops. Whereas now it's much more methodical and quite slow, sort of. So it's much more difficult, I think. And I'm just not putting the time in. You know, you get into a good flow with the market when you're sat at your screen for 12 hours a day. I'm just not prepared to do that anymore. But yeah, it's generally just hunting stop losses, you know, and closing on the rebounds, you know, just really low time frame mean reversion, basically.
Right. And what tools were you generally using for that?
If it's really good, I wouldn't really use anything. The only tool I can't live without, to be honest, is RSI. You know, in the right environment, RSI divergences are absolutely golden. Right. But then, yeah, like in a more range bound environment, I like using the Keltner channel bands are good. And then another tool I like is just the 36 exponential moving average is always good, especially in a trending environment. It's usually a good reactionary level. So,
but for in terms of like checking liquidations and stuff like that, how you said, I know these are like more technical.
I don't check any data. It's just muscle memory from doing it for so long. You just, and again, from making mistakes early on, I know where the liquidations are. I know where the stop losses are based on the fact that I've been rinsed by them myself learning, you know? So you kind of, you'll see a level and, you know, when there's a bunch of shallow stops that hasn't been wicked properly, you kind of know after a while that you're going to get at least a reactionary move off those stop losses. To where you can at least reevaluate. You can either close on the bounce or hold for a bit longer, etc. But it's just it's about sort of, I kind of try and think in the mindset of a market maker. Like if there's a bunch of stop losses here, or even just a large entity that wants a larger fill with less impact, you know, if price gets to that point, you can fill a lot on the limit without actually impacting price. And then likelihood is you're going to move it away from that level quite quickly. So just comes with time, really, and just price action, just, you know, candles and stuff. It's quite autistic, to be honest.
Candles and stuff.
True, man. It's true. It's muscle memory. If you've been doing it for a long time, how long have you been doing it? Like when did you first get into crypto? What was your first cycle, so to speak?
It's terrifying every time I think about this question now, because time just seems to evaporate. I think I've been doing it like 6.5 years now. But I really started scalping. I started like trading more than in like having the investment mindset like late 2018, like 2019, during the sort of real crab market. It's funny, I kind of learned how to scout really well in that market, and then I wasn't actually well prepared for the initial bull market because I was used to trading just nonsense. So it took a bit of a shift to get into that as well. But yeah, I've been doing it a long time now, really. What was I going to say? Can't remember.
How did you get into it? Like, how did you get into crypto?
Initially, I was just bullish on the idea of Bitcoin. You know, I saw the sort of, you know, I'm very sort of anti-establishment. So the idea of it being a bit of a fuck you to the system initially was kind of my in. But then again, like you learn, I bought at the most normie sort of point of control price as everyone else. And then, you know, you see these massive fluctuations. But then as you learn the market, you're like, oh, actually, yeah, I'm buying here because it's where price wants to spend the most amount of time. Because I think of, you know, the market as a continuous auction, and price will generally stay at fair value the longest amount of time. And that's where normies like me back then, well, still normie now to an extent, would buy, you know. So it was about learning that and then finding out how to sort of differentiate between discount and overvaluation and stuff. But yeah, I got in just because I like Bitcoin. I still like Bitcoin. I kind of fell out of love with it a bit for a while, to be honest. But I don't know. It feels like it's starting to come into what I thought it might be, I think, now.
Yeah, it does feel like, I remember when we came in, which is clearly later than you, everyone just felt like Bitcoin was a bit boomerish. Like there's nothing really going on there. And it just felt like the narrative might not even be that strong, but it's really swung back that way over the last 12 months. People are really falling back in love with it. So what was it like when you, obviously you're like on Up and Only, got to know those guys. What was it like back then? How did you get known in the community?
I don't know. Well, I used to do a lot of educational content just to try and help people build out their own trading systems, really. I kind of really emphasized risk management and not blowing up, basically, because you just see people get blown up all the time and then just disappear. So I kind of got into that. And then I think really I gained a big following because I played the bear market so well. So I kind of became a bit of a main character for a period, which is kind of awful in hindsight.
What do you mean? Because you were basically shorting any top and you just didn't think.
Yeah, just because I called it publicly, traded it really well publicly. It was just one of those periods where I was completely dialed. You get them every now and then, you know, where you just kind of feel like you're invincible. But then, yeah, people then start to think your opinion matters more than anyone else's based on a number on a screen, you know, which is kind of stupid. So I don't really say much anymore.
Yeah, we had Alex Weiss on the show, actually, who had some funny stories from that time. But he said, yeah, he really was trading based on like CT cred rather than actually like trying to make money. And I think it's tough to be a main character because sometimes you do stuff and it's not really optimal, like in terms of you making money. It's just better to be quiet about your risk taking.
It's very noisy and it's very hard to sort of park that sort of human desire for approval. So you end up sort of tailoring what you say.
Exactly.
Even if it's subconsciously. So
you called the, which bear market was this then? This was the most recent one or?
Yeah, the most, well, I called both quite well as far as like tops go. I did really well in the 2020 bull market because I got in at good prices and got out at good prices. But then the sort of when would it have been? 2021? Like from the top down. I was very vocal about thinking we'd go to 20K from when we were like 65 or whatever. And traded it pretty well as well. So
did you catch the bottom as well? Or did you?
No, I didn't play it very well at all, to be honest. And again, it's part of that sort of, you get so much sort of positive reinforcement from being sort of a public bear that I think it took me ages to sort of get out of that mindset, you know. So, but no, I shifted actually quite late in, it was like the, you know, that really slow grind we had recently at like 36K, that's really when sort of flipped. Because I'd seen that structure before play out where everyone's waiting for it to wick down and it just doesn't.
You didn't get in that. I mean, I remember that period where it was ranging between wherever it was, like 31 and 24, 25K went on for ages.
Yeah, it was pretty rancid, to be fair.
It was horrific and everyone was like throwing in the towel. So when it did finally break out, I felt like most of CT was underinvested. Like it felt as though a lot of people, because you were range trading for so long and it was quite easy to trade those ranges, that when it did break out, it felt like suddenly everyone. So getting in at 36K, I mean, I know people threw in the towel much, much later than that. I mean, Capo obviously never really threw in the towel. And he's been a public bear the whole time. So
I really like, you know, I kind of think I was in that sort of mindset to a degree at the bottom. I can kind of empathize with him and the fact that he's got this huge following and your ego can just be so strong sometimes in, you know, holding this bias because of the engagement and stuff and people, you know, it's a weird one. Yeah. It's a weird one. But then again, like when it comes to my trading, I'm definitely better at trading late stage than sort of that slow consolidation anyway, I think, like, just when it's more volatile. I think it's people have been saying it recently, haven't they? You make more money in the last 20% than the first 80%, which I kind of think is true to an extent. You know, there's more daily opportunity, I think, now, which is good.
There is. I think that's 100% true. And I also think the volatility towards the end grows as well, right? Like, this has been we've gone, obviously we had some volatility recently, like say in the last month with some pretty horrific wicks, but honestly it was kind of just a grind up all the way up to like 60 65k, wasn't it? And then we started to see some volatility here. But yeah, if we do go to like 150 200k in Bitcoin, you can imagine the days there are going to be crazy volatility.
It's gonna be epic. There'll be some 10k candles or something, I'd imagine, right? It's gonna be nuts.
At least I think we're gonna see crazy days. I remember that in 2021 22, like just some of the days were just unbelievable.
And that's where those are the kind of days where I do the best, honestly, you know, when everyone's panicking and you get these, because the beauty of like really inefficient violent moves is they will mean revert like most of the time if you're good at sort of entering. So those are the days I kind of prey on, really. You know, you get one of those good days where I can't remember which it was. There was a move recently where I caught, it was like a 30-minute, like 8% candle or something on Bitcoin. It might have even been more. But those kind of moves are just like monsters. When it's 30 minutes, like less than an hour for that kind of thing, it's just like, gets me excited.
I got liquidated bad on that day, actually.
That was a grim day.
Not see that one. I think Solana wicked like 40% on Binance, and I remember just being like, "What?"
Thanks for the fills, lads.
Yeah. It was horrific. I agree with you. I think that's something that people have to appreciate, that they might feel that they've missed some of these moves, and actually, I remember, I keep on saying every time that Bitcoin breaks 70k right now, I always say to myself, you're going to have another shot at 70k. Like every single time it goes there, I'm just like, the volatility is just too high. I'll have another shot like that. And I think people have to remember that. They feel as though the train is leaving the station and they'll never get another shot. And that can be the case with some altcoins, but when the majors, generally, like, you're always going to get another shot. Like you're always, and probably in the altcoins, right? Like even then, like some of the wicks that you can get in these altcoins are just crazy.
And even like, the way I say it, when it's really volatile like this, instead of trying to get that god tier entry for all time highs on specific coins, you can do that. But those kind of good entries are pastas now. But you know, when you've got like alts doing, let's say, 12% days every other day, just like, it's like I say on that video, take profit. If it's gone up 15%, the likelihood is you're going to get an opportunity to get in again and just take the same trade. And that's how you really compound. And if you do that, let's say you take like 5 to 8% on one of these moves, and you can consistently do that and wait for it to pull back or wait for it to consolidate, manage your risk. You know, you can really compound those gains without needing it to do an 80-90% move, because the variables in holding a trade like that over weeks, you know, like we say, you can drop 20-30% in one day and you've just decimated your unrealized gains, you know. This is the time to really compound those gains, I think, and take more setups.
Me and Ovi were talking about that recently, because we were talking, I think the buy and hold strategy, to be honest, with a lot of altcoins worked until about 65K. And now I generally think if you've had a really good day, you should probably lock in at least some of it on some of these. Because like you said, the vol has come back. So you have to be disciplined about getting back in, I think, because I still think we've still got quite a long way. Or at least I do think we're going to go up plus 100K. I do think like we're probably half or a third of the way into this bull run. But I do think that at least in this sort of structure, taking profits on good days is not, I don't think it's the worst move. Maybe if you're just like, you know, I don't want to deal with this, I'm buy and hold, I'll buy and hold all the way up, fine. But I do think if you really want to compound this, it's a good time to take profits on good days.
Yeah. And again, like, let's say you've got a target, let's say you think FTM is going to double in price 100%. It might do back and forth to where the up moves, like it might do 200% in sort of rotations as opposed to 100% in one, you know? So if you can sort of figure out when it's overextended on a specific rotation, wait for it to cool off, you get in again, and then you're really compounding gains. You can really, you know, if you're looking for 100%, you can get like 150, 200% on that one move instead of holding for the entirety of it, kind of thing. That's how I try and play it.
Yeah. Do you use bots at all? I've been using like grid bots a little bit more because of this strategy. I've been like, right, they sell up. If it rips, they'll sell a little bit for me. If it dips, but we're keeping a core position. I don't know if you've looked at that sort of stuff. Obviously, it's not really your style.
Sure.
I've been using them over the last month. I've been using them a lot more, and they've been really good. it's a good trading environment now for Gridbots, because you know they have that volatility, and you're kind of you are selling a little bit into the rips, and you're buying a little bit of the dips.
I should. I'm very quite stubborn, really, when it comes to. I'm very simple minded, I think, and I don't like change. So I generally try and keep doing the same shit over and over. because a lot of my strategies would be quite easy to automate, but then it means me coding and stuff. And I hate technology, honestly. I'm very simple. So my brain just kind of switches off.
Honestly, I'm kind of the same. I only did them recently because I thought I'd try them out, and then I felt like I didn't want to have to be there glued to screens like you just said. But yeah. I did think there was money to be made off the volatility, and you know these bots generally make money when there's volatility. But it's
I know Romano's been using them and making a killing on them. He's been posting about them.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done well at most points in this cycle up until probably the last.
Now. Yeah, because it's been chopping now. You need the chop, basically.
Yeah, you need the chop. And like you said, like Phantom, for example, is down 20% in the last 2 days, but it's also up 20% from where it was very recently. And you can kind of keep that core position, but it trades them around a bit. I think most of the major exchanges are now giving you access to them. They have like ways of doing it with AI as well, even where like they look at the implied volatility, or they look at recent realize volatility, and then they work out where the range should be if you're going to have it on for the next few days. I don't know. I don't say do it with all your portfolio, but I would say that it's something to look at and just try them out with a small slice. And if you like them, there's a time to trade them. Otherwise, I think a lot of traders in this market, they end up getting glued to the screen about, like you just said, like there's one way, which is just you're just chilling. The other way is the way to make money is to really, really be laser focused at this point because the volatility is so high.
Yeah.
But why Phantom and Pepe then? How did you come to, because you're a bit more of a swing trader now, like how are you choosing those?
I don't know. I just kind of like Pepe. No real reason. More of just a gut feel that I think it'll kind of continue to do well. Maybe I'm mid-curving it and should just be whiff, going all in whiff instead. I don't know. When it comes to fat, there's reasons I like Phantom that I can't really divulge.
Love it. That's what we want to hear.
I'm pretty confident it's going to continue to go up based on some knowledge I may or may not have.
All right. That's very crypto. I mean, Phantom has this upgrade, has this sonic upgrade. I actually own Phantom until. They made the announcement yesterday, and the reason why I sold it was because they said that it was going to be late. It was going to be late summer when it came out, or early autumn. I was like, crypto bros don't wait 2 months, you know, or 3 months. That's way too long. Even though I like the story, but
I'm hoping it goes into like the 80s again. 80 cents would be good.
It's a good story, right? Like I think 2000 TPS, and obviously you've got some.
I literally have not read anything about. I have no idea what the upgrades are. It's nothing to do with that.
More bullish Phantom right now. Honestly, I could not meet it.
I don't know what this thing is, but I'm going all in.
all in on this news that I know. Okay, cool. All right. So if you know nothing about Phantom audience, just go all in. It seems.
Oh no, this is gonna haunt me now.
I love that. I started to bring up one bit of fundamentals. You're like, yeah, no idea, mate, but
I should say there's more buyers than sellers. That's all I know, I think.
To be fair, crypto's about that just as much too, right? It is a semi-private world of gossip. I mean, the amount of stuff that I hear about stuff all the time, right? We heard something yesterday about like this BlackRock fund, and we were like, oh, how could we play that? I kind of feel like that's just the market as it is. I don't even know if that's, I don't know, getting involved in terms of as much information as you can from as many people as possible. That is what people do in every single market. I think crypto, it's a little bit gray area because none of these are like securities, or we're fighting against that being the case. So it's always been, you know, I think there's always had that world of semi-private information. We came from a world like that when we used to trade high-yield bonds. Like it was always grey area in terms of whether the market knew half of this information. So I think getting in the right circles is a big bit of crypto.
Totally.
So those are your big trades for this year, or are you still owning? Are you still owning the majors? Well, out of Bitcoin, Solana, ETH, which is your dog for this?
Jim loves
good ETH. Cool. It's tough call. Cool. I think you still got to go with Bitcoin. Honestly, like there's so many. It's such an interesting dynamic now where a lot of the, like even in this chop, like Bitcoin's outperforming altcoins predominantly, which is quite unusual. So I still think Bitcoin is going to be the leading driving force for the cycle, just because of the access to it now. The money that's coming in is going to go directly to Bitcoin, I think. So I think it's just the safest bet. You might get higher beta on Solana or something, but I kind of like a Bitcoin Pepe FTM kind of split for me at the minute would be good. I really think we're on the precipice of a large influx of money coming in. We've already seen a large influx of money, but I kind of feel as though there's like behind the scenes, I think there's a lot of funds funds being created. I think we might be on the precipice of the VC sort of like influx of capital coming in soon. And they'll probably be the people that kill us off like in 6 months or something, but it's probably going to be the most accelerated part, you know, it's kind of what happened last cycle.
Me and OSF were talking about this a few days ago, which was right now, I think the average inflow into the ETF is about 200 million a day. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, that will slow with time. I actually think it's going to increase. I think what you just said is that you're starting to see a lot of these TradFi funds, slower moving sort of funds, the pension funds, the insurance funds, the sovereign style funds, the state, you know, state style funds, universities, all this sort of stuff. They'll start to be like, right, this has been going for a few months, we should get an allocation. I think that could go up to 500 million plus time, just knowing how TradFi people move. Everyone assumes that they're quick moving. They're not. They'll be so slow about this, but they'll wait to see how it goes. And then once they feel a little bit of comfort in it, I think those numbers could really rip towards the end of the
year. You think like, let's say like 50 to 80 billion of TradFi money is just it's a fucking fart in the wind for them, isn't it? You know, but like the impact it has on the market cap of this size is astronomical. So I'm quite confident just based on conversations I've had that there's a lot of money trying to get in at the seed, you know, like at seed investment sort of in these, you know, I think there's quite a lot of stuff happening where people are trying to throw money this market right now. So I think we've got plenty of time to go. I hope I'm not wrong, but
I saw people saying the barbell of Bitcoin, Solana yesterday, after that whole blast hack. I think I saw who was it, Mike Dudas tweeted it out, and then I think I saw a bunch of people retweet it, though a lot of people have moved on from Solana to Phantom. Again, it feels like one of these things, because it's going to be a faster TPS, I think, than Solana, arguably, before they do that their upgrade. So I think that's right. Bitcoin plus a L1 alt is a good barbell. Whether that's Solana, it's Phantom, it's like Near, it's one of these ones which has a little bit of a sexy story behind it and could outperform. I think that's probably the best way to do it.
And then something just, you know, a few percent in something really high beta that could potentially do something crazy. I mean, you know, you look on paper at the valuations of Pepe and stuff, it's a bit sort of undesirable, but I do, you know, these things do go silly. And there's still so many market caps, overinflated market caps on just dead garbage, you know.
Dude, it's crazy. I was looking at some of the Metaverse coins the other day, and they're still in the billions. You're just like, what? Yeah.
Well, you look at Phantom. If Phantom creeps up to like the top 10, I can't think where it is now. Is it even in the top 20?
I'm not sure. It's not even close.
Yeah,
it really fell off. Yeah, like it's really fallen off as a market cap because it was dead for so long. 3 billion fully diluted as well, and also majority of it has been. I mean, the current versus fully diluted is around the same. So it's most of the emissions have happened. So if that does go, you know, the highs of it were, in terms of market cap, it got up to 8 billion in 22, and now it's 3. But
I kind of like how hated it is as well. People are, you know, I see a lot of mid-curve takes about FTM because it's already like kind of overextended and stuff. No one wants to buy in, which kind of makes me think it might just keep going up and be just a really hated rally.
These old coins can sometimes be difficult like that. I know, like Link, for example, it, you know, it starts to break out and then it just like loses steam because, you know, it doesn't have enough momentum to it to keep on going. But Phantom, if they get that upgrade done well, and L1s, I always think can pump the most alongside memes. Like people, as soon as they start to get TVL on them, people can just go wild.
Yeah.
What do you think, OSF? How are you positioning yourself at this point?
I don't really know what to do here because I just lost a bit of money just gambling on random shit the last few days. And then all my spot bags are obviously up, but I'm just a bit more pissed off about the stupid gambles that I've done. Even though the amount they're down is like nothing compared to how much spot bags are up. So just really like holding the stuff that I have, like I basically really have like Sol, ETH, WIF, Mog. It's like this like little box trade of majors and memes.
I think majors and memes is the way.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit bored by the market, to be honest with you. Like, which is why I'm doing stupid shit.
I thought this tweet was like you say it's just too much happening.
Yeah, I think when there's too much going on, it just makes you feel like can't really be us, like look at it all sort of thing. That's how I'm feeling right now.
And again, that's another indication that liquidity is just stretched over so many things.
Yeah, exactly.
We need a violent move on something to sort of refocus people's attention, I think.
The timeline is a bit exhausting, I have to say that. It's like everyone, it's so shilly compared to even the bear market. Everyone in the bear market was just like, you know, let's just see this through. Now it's just like, look right here, it's attention economy. Like every single post is like, you missed this, I told you about this. And it's just like, fuck off, mate. So I can imagine it's easier just to just own high beta long-term holds. This kind of where you're at, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, KBM's here.
You guys ready to start the show? We're good.
Yeah, dude, we're just 40 minutes in. To be honest, the comments, most of them are like, where the fuck is KBM? Why is Mando talking so much?
Oh, man, the start of the show is here. I'm just in time. Sorry for being late, guys. A lot of traffic out there. What were you talking about?
We were talking about how Jim was a main character himself as a bear during the last cycle and grew his following that way. And I wanted to kind of throw it to you during that phase because at times you have been the main character bear. Well, not the main character, but you've definitely been counter trading the timeline.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I sometimes I like the short. I don't know. A lot of people don't like the short at all, and they get a little defensive and tribal short versus longs, which is pretty funny when it comes down to it. I think, I mean, for most people, it's probably the best play anyway, just to stay long, hold longer term time frames. But like when I'm tweeting on the timeline, it's usually about shorter time frames. So sometimes there are shorts and shorter time frames, contrary to what everyone may believe. But I don't know. I mean, like, I'm definitely not like a perma bear, so it's just I guess those are the tweets I throw out, because if you just tweet, you're getting along all the time.
That's a perma bear meal if ever I've seen one.
That's
that
was from the Munchables hack. It was brutal. But anyway, you guys didn't used to eat those? I used to eat those once in a while growing up. That's the old school fucking Lunchables right there.
Oh, we used to have
That's that. That's that good
dairy
shit.
Ones.
Dairy Lunchables.
I would eat one now, to be honest. One bite, you know the rules. But I mean, like, I would definitely eat it.
One bite, you know the rules.
I actually, I've seen you getting involved. Like, it's been a good week though, right? If you're range trading, this has been a good environment, KBM.
So, yeah, today was sick, right? I mean, like, you had to sweep that high right there and then just collapse. I don't know if it was due to the Coinbase news or not, but I don't really think so.
It seems like people pre-positioned for it. So someone knew it was coming, I think.
Yeah, right. I guess it did when it popped and then came right back off. Yeah. It's just like liquidity games out there right now. It's pretty thin. I don't know. I think it's best not to overcommit either side right now.
I mean, if you were
just scalp,
you could really crush it if you were close to the reporters that like Cointelegraph or one of these firms that always breaks this news, right? Like,
are you trying to talk about insider information trading?
I don't know.
You could crush it if you had inside info.
Is this inside information? These are like, they're clearly like,
well, again, news releases before the public. I would say,
not,
yes.
They're not really news releases for the public. They're just put in a, like a sensationalist way. You know, like remember that Cointelegraph headline, which was just so sensationalist. This initial headline was like Coinbase to lose case. And actually it's just, they're just going to trial. It's not like they've actually like lost the case.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. I reckon there's dodgy shit going on there. But then I also saw you getting involved in crypto valleys, which I'm also involved.
I don't know. Last night I just went down a little rabbit hole. Probably going to lose all the money I invested in that, I would assume. But I'm in there.
What's that? I've not heard of that.
I don't know. It's a blast farming DeFi Kingdoms 2.0 Ponzi yield thing. I decided to get involved once Blast got smoked yesterday. Crypto Valley chart got like halved. So I was like, this is a perfect time to get in. So I don't know. I'm farming some plants. I got some lettuce going right now, some potatoes and shit.
Oh my God.
Definitely gonna lose money. Definitely gonna lose money. But I'm
you guys have got to get involved. You guys have got to get involved.
I mean, I never participate in this bullshit, and then I always regret it. I guess I'm late already. Deez has like fucking 400,000 locked yield. I have like 1,000. I'm like, I'm just like feeding his bullshit. So if you're late to these, it just came out what, a week and a half ago, and I'm already like week and a half.
Are you giga late a week and a half? I feels like this.
Yeah.
The game's fucking expensive to play at this level. To upgrade your farm to top level, it's like $100,000.
Oh, really?
Jesus.
So yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just putzing around. I don't really like do shit like this typically. Just trying it out. I'm willing to lose it all.
I've been doing it for the last couple of days, and maybe I'm late, but I've really enjoyed it. It's one of the only fun things I've done in crypto in a while.
Yeah, I know the fun planting the potato and then the monotony of harvesting it every 6 hours. I don't know if I would call it fun. You did say it was really fun in the text chat the other day. That's what I was like, okay, I'll check it out. I mean, like, I don't know if it's really fun.
they're launching NFTs now. You can buy your adventurers. Like, oh, man.
But you get, like, different vegetables and fruits and stuff. Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Every day, and you get to you get like.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but this game sounds shit to me. But
it does stuff like own. A little like slot machine spin roll. You buy the seeds. There's a slot machine spin roll of the seeds you bought. You get some commons, legendary or not. I mean, usually just you get all shitty ones, and then you plant them, and then you get a yield. And the EV of it is like 0.95, so you're just consistently losing money. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, cool, man.
Mando said it's the best.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah.
It's either that you get involved in shitcoins. It's basically one or the other. You get involved in like a DeFi Ponzi, or you get involved in shitcoins at this stage of the market.
Wasn't there like a phone game like this ages ago?
Yeah.
Farmville.
Before Animal Crossing. Yeah. I can't remember what it was called.
This kind of feels like Magic too. Like, remember Treasure back in the day? And maybe I just had some nostalgic, you know, feels towards that. So I remember my treasure bag was worth a lot one day. And then, I wrote it all the way back down. But, you know, that was a fun one.
Yeah,
but I think super DeFi farming games are pointless. I don't know.
Maybe this one's different. Maybe it's different.
Maybe people pay millions of dollars to upgrade their farm.
If the word yields in it, it's got a shelf life.
That's the ticker yield, so it's not just in yield.
God, it's fucking over.
Whoa, don't, can you delete these for me? What are you doing? Get out of here, intern.
Wow, it's really gone back. Look, you've got receipts.
If the intern can find it that fast, then I said they're going to be on me.
Delete old tweets. Okay,
yeah, I need to go through a cycle. Anyway.
So, no, we were just talking about trades this cycle that we think that the barbell Bitcoin plus maybe one alt is the best one, maybe some memes. I don't know. I still don't think we're towards the top of this. There was a range of different views on this, but it still feels mid cycle to me rather than late. What do you think, KVM?
I mean, I don't know. I don't try to guess these things, but maybe mid, but you could see a lot of fucking chop and volatility this whole summer. It's getting closer and closer to summer. Stocks, the semiconductor stocks, they're not, it's kind of hard to see them continue running. And they're kind of the risk on part of the market for stocks. You'd have to kind of think that the same kind of risk risk on, risk off type thing. What happened in crypto? A lot of fucking upside has been pulled forward pretty far. It feels like in this first half of the year. I don't think you're just gonna like get the ape breakouts and print money like all the time anymore. I think that'll probably slow down. So I think it'll just be more difficult, but it doesn't have to go down. It could just shop.
Yeah. I think that's something that people maybe don't appreciate is that people think crypto is rallying. Literally everything is ripping. All of stocks are all-time highs, and they don't realize that a lot of this is correlated. So if stocks take a little bit of a bath on something, then crypto
will pull. And I mean, if semiconductor stocks have pulled forward a lot of their earnings, but they're I don't know, they're pretty parabolic. I could see them chilling out for a little bit between earnings seasons as well. So I think that you'll just see a lot of people get ahead of themselves on breakouts and breakdowns and just fuck themselves up in the chop. As someone who's done that plenty of times, trying to get that vibe in my head, like don't overcommit either side.
I think the thing that's important is there's this big pot of money sloshing around where people are in profit or not in profit or whatever. You know, it's gonna be very. I get the feeling it's gonna be quite rotational for I don't know how long. Where that money just tries to sort of make more money from different things until that sort of next wave of inflows kind of comes in sustained. To support the sort of moves up, I think. But even if this is the top, you generally get weeks to sort of discern and sort of make a decision. And, you know, it takes a long time for a market to reverse because of that pot of money. People will keep recirculating their profits to try and make more profits until it either exhausts or another wave of money comes in, basically. So.
You seen this breaking headline at the moment that Matchy Big Brother has raised $20 million in a Solana presale?
Holy shit.
Well,
you seen this?
No, I didn't, but congrats. Seems low.
Is that late cycle or that is
exactly wild. It's a good question.
KBM?
People are just searching for fucking profits. Like Jim said, they're just trying to ape shit and it's going way down the risk curve all of a sudden to where you just send in addresses shit again. I mean, I don't know. Would you ask Osef? I didn't hear you.
I said, are you going in big into Matchy's thing? You guys are close,
yeah,
right?
No, he blocked me, so I didn't get that. Did he block you? One. Yeah, I called him a scammer once or something. I don't know.
No alpha for you, man. was the meme coin season this long ever before?
I think this is different. I feel like this one's more like broad-based, more like retail-based, in my opinion.
But yeah, the last one was very much, I think, SBF-based.
Yeah. SBF, that's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, okay, just this one is wild. Yeah, just sending some Solana to
but it's kind of died. Have people been crushing meme coins like this past week? I don't know. What are the good
coins? Dude, Joe Bowden.
I mean, Bowden, yeah, that's a good one, but fucking missed it, it feels like. So I'm not going to
miss it. You didn't miss it.
Oh, this guy's like on the top holder list. He's telling me I didn't miss it.
230 million. This thing could go to a billion.
I mean, it can. It's
fucking crazy. Yeah, I can't mentally buy. I can't. I'm too bored. That's where my 70-year-old man comes in because I'm just like 230 mil for a fucking Bowden. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Dude. It'll probably go to fucking 10 mil, but I just can't do it.
Just imagine Fox News.
No, it's good. Just imagine I wanted to buy it. Early.
Started Biden coin reaches top 10 meme coins. Like that thing is gonna fly when this thing goes mainstream.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm picking that. That's my one thing that I've been involved in. We've been rugged on, well not really rugged. Definitely myself and OSF have been dancing some other things which went basically to zero.
If I don't get in early, like it's really hard for me to buy a meme coin at like a high valuation for some reason. Like the Bowden here, no. Bowden right before Ansem fucking tweeted, I was literally like gonna load up a wallet to buy it, and then I tweeted it and ruined my whole trade. So now it's like I can't do it mentally. Like, I just can't get
in. 2x takes it to fucking half a bill, you know. And that's like,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Ship a sale for me.
It's a lot.
I actually think differently in that I think these meme coins, when they get above a certain level, the risk reward is way better.
Like the escape velocity on them.
When they're like 50 to 100, I think they can go to zero very easily. Once they get above 200, they normally start to get listings. I really like meme coins in that sort of range because often they'll start to get good momentum. And your downside is, yeah, maybe it drops to 150, but it's normally made it at that sort of level, like showing some sort of positive oh, you're like, people recognize it as a meme. So I really like them when they get all that. I bet you there's probably about 10 right now in that sort of range. It's like Popcat, Myro, Brett. I reckon all of those have got good risk reward about them. They're not, they haven't got crazy upside. I agree. They're not going to go to like, they're not going to 10x probably, or it'll be more difficult for them to do that sort of a move. But I do think that they could easily do like a 2 or 3x, and your downside's not that bad. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, for 2 or 3x, and you're just like invested in what could be considered vapor, I feel like you can find 2 or 3x somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. 2 or 3x doesn't seem like enough.
I agree with that, but I feel like with altcoins, it can be even worse. I don't know. These meme coins can stick around at high valuations for a long time. That's why I like the
downside. Get sticky, yeah.
Somehow. Never really seems that bad on some of the like the ones that have made it. Whereas I tend to find with some of the altcoins, they can come down to fucking earth very, very quickly. Meme coins is where I'm spending most of my time looking at the moment. Like, yeah, I have the like OSF spot bags, and then majority of my shit is on meme coins.
Yeah.
Base. Well, you guys doing base meme coins?
I tried. I got smoked.
Oh, really?
Well, walked in and bought some, and then I lost money, and I don't know, sold them. Now they're probably back up. Let me look. I bought the base pro shops, you know. No, thought that was a good one. Good. Oh, that one's back up. I guess I sold the bottom on that. That's stupid. That stupid blue coin. Let me see where that one's at. Blue. Yeah, that one's garbage. I mean, it was a terrible meme, so that makes sense.
They're always terrible memes on base, man.
Yeah, I know. Base Pro Shops is pretty much the only one that I even like smirked at. So that was like, it passed the smirk test, and that's the one that's sitting at highs. All the rest are literal trash. No creativity. Whoever's making the base memes, you need to like talk to, I don't know, me or something. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
Get some creative stuff going.
So we should probably move on to the spins to finish. We never really got into like your tips for the bear market, but OSF, do you want to maybe go to the final questions?
Final question for you, Jim, is what's your best advice on how not to get wrecked?
How not to get wrecked? Fucking hell. It's hard in this space.
Sorry, mate. You're getting
wrecked. I think me personally, I'm quite religious. I've always been quite religious about taking profits, especially when it's a meaningful amount. If it's meaningful, you know, I think when those emotions kick in and it actually means something, just, you know, take your money out. Fucking hell, it's such a tough question. Yeah, I don't know, man.
That works. That is a really good one, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people here like to just never see the money come out of the crypto market.
You realize the amount of money that means a lot to you, you realize it once that burden's off your mind. The opportunity then, you could, like, if you made life-changing money, you could just separate 10, 20% of it. You've got your bag, and you can be, and like, you know, when you've like made significant money, your actual tolerance and stomach for risk is so much greater because you have this money that is like supporting you. So you end up like, you know, potentially end up flourishing off that just because the sort of weight's lifted of any sort of necessity. So,
yeah, we've had a few people say that recently. It's like they take more risk when they take money out. I think that's one of the best tips for this bull market for sure. Wow. My life goal is to drink a piss warm whiskey without.
I
actually
need. I mean,
the first time I read it, so I was just like, what the fuck is that?
I was like, I thought it said drink a warm piss.
Anyway, all right, we run any spins, gents? So, you got a code or what's going on?
Yeah, one more code.
I'll be back.
Bet big 3821.
Bet big
3821.
Where the fuck did Mando go? Isn't he supposed to like.
He just said he'll be back. Oh, he's supposed to do
this. All right.
He's supposed to do
this. 1 minute of showtime left. The guy left. I don't know who's supposed to do this. Okay, there we go. I guess I have to join the fucking pot, the thing on the Twitter.
Yeah, because we can't get co-hosts.
All right. Are these the people or are these the entries? No, these are the people.
Yeah, that's
I'm joining as co-host. Try to invite me, Rekt Intern.
Okay, let me, where are they? Right, the loot boxes.
Shannon Head, please request. Andrew, soon and never. Kryse.eth, KRYS.eth. Bad boy Chris, sorry. Let's see if you could request now.
Shannon Head, soon and never, Andrew and Chris. Bad boys
me.
Chris.
It didn't make me the co-host.
I see okay. As co-host, yeah.
Okay. So far none of these people have requested. Sweet. Shannon Head. Oh, we got Chris. Bad boy Chris. Oh, and Andrew. All right, I might have just clicked somebody else by accident. Who's the other one? Shannon Head. We're about to rug that person in a couple seconds here.
Rug it.
Give me redraw. Another one.
Redraw.
Zen Montserrat.
That seems like a bot. I mean, what is that?
Why?
Zen Montserrat.
Zen Montserrat.
Montserrat.
Zen Montserrat. Why, Shannon you? Head. Somebody, come on. Come on, guys. Just come on. Or girls.
Rugged.
Redraw
this one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Vampy trades.
Come on.
Vampy trades. Oh, we got Shannon Head. That'll do.
Sweet.
Shannon Head finally fucking woke up from his bot slumber, probably. Let's win it.
Word up. Laptop was on the wrong account.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck, I gotta log into this other bot account.
All right, let me share
Andrew
my screen.
Andrew, Chris, and Shannon Head.
Hello.
Oh, speaking. Maybe he's not a bot.
There's some decent stuff in here, I think, as per normal. A lot of pudgies, wreck guys.
All right, run it. This is for Andrew.
Oh. Robot for a grand. I think that's the lowest cash. Oh, some of these robots are
traded. There you go, Andrew. This one's for Chris. Chris.f.eth. I don't know why I just said .f.
Next one is Chris.
That's it, bro.
ETH, $1,000. Well done. Here we go. Next one.
Oh. That's a condition. That's
not the lowest price.
Man, the EV on this loot box is fucking... Yeah, crushed. Man. Shannon Head, you're up next. Congrats, Chris.
Congrats. And finally, let's see what this is going to be. Come on.
Shannon Head. Oh! There it is. The $15,000 red light district. RLD, well, that's the cornerstone piece of the OSF art, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, thanks for coming on, Jim. I know I was only on for a couple minutes, but it was good to meet you over the computer here. I know we've talked about
that. Yeah, you too. So. We've been around the block a bit.
We have, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, congrats to the winners of the stuff. I guess that our rec intern will reach out to you or DM your addresses. Anything else you want to say before we head off, guys?
No, that's it. We'll see you again all next week. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Jim.
Later.
Cheers. Pleasure.